You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Wake up, Tucson. Good morning. Yeah.
You know something? After
that old stretch.
You know, after 11 years of this show, you people haven't woken up yet. So
well, that's true.
Forget about it.
Okay, so what do you want to call it instead then?
Return to your slumber. Slumber.
Oh, yes.
Return to your slumber, Tucson.
Zombies. Yes.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Christy Simone.
How you doing?
All right. You know?
Big day today.
What a sunshiny day.
Big day today.
Yeah.
First of all, music birthdays are great today.
Yes, that's true, right?
Ray Charles and Bruce Springsteen.
How about that?
That'll keep us out of trouble.
That's
this
sweet.
Is like your birthday. You know, on your birthday, it's like, what, David Bowie and Elvis.
Right. Yeah, I guess pretty good, too, right? January 8th is always good. So September 23rd is a winner, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And then we have a big third hour today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys know this. Ed Alexander is being inducted.
Yeah. By Chuck Huckleberry. Where are they sending me now?
Into the Keno Mental
Right?
Jeez. Ed's being inducted in the Tucson Musicians Hall of Fame.
Look at that.
Ed, I don't know if you guys know this. He is a prolific kazoo player.
That's true.
And
tambourine and... That's kazoo.
When he came on the scene in 72, and they called him Kazam Kazoo was his stage name. And you know the solo from Inagata Da Vida?
Yes.
He did that with a kazoo. 1974, Tucson Gardens. And it was...
There you go. What are you doing to me?
So anyway, there's a point to all this.
I guess.
On the third hour, we have, I love George Howard. Very nice
George
man.
George Howard
great
Band,
guy.
Yeah.
So George is going to be here. And George, of course, is one of the forces behind the Tucson Musicians Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh, the museum, yes.
And so what this does is that Ed, you're going to get you. I talked to Glenn at the TCC, and he's going to put your picture right between the men and the women's toilet.
See
right
that?
Down the hallway there.
That's it.
Because I told him, oh, you can go up with everyone else in the lobby there, okay? But I want the place that's going to get the highest traffic.
Yeah, so, that's true. Especially during hockey games and stuff like that, right?
So
yeah. So, no, there's when you go down the escalator, if you ever go down the escalator from the north side, at the bottom is the Musicians Museum with the photos and their bios and stuff like that. And someday soon, go in with him. We'll be up there.
That'd now, there, cool. there is a virtual ceremony you can watch, correct?
Yeah, it's coming up this Saturday night from 7 to 9. It will be musical performances and all sorts of stuff with the seven or so inductees. And we'll have a couple of them on today.
So you're on today.
Yes.
At the third hour.
Right.
Crystal's here?
Yes, Crystal Stark will be here.
And George.
Yeah, you know, so the place gets classed up a lot when Crystal gets here.
It'll look love good. Crystal. She's been on the show before.
What a dynamo.
Great attitude.
Yeah.
Great voice.
She's a teacher now. She's got a school and all sorts of stuff. And Robert Zucker, who had Entertainment Magazine and still has an EMOL online, he was the guy who interviewed all the people. There was the Star and the Citizen, and then he was the Independent, and he interviewed all the stars when they came to town. He had the listing of all the stuff that was happening in town and interviews with all the people. So he
is he going to be here?
He's going to be. He wrote three books about Tucson music, and then he's written some other books about Mount Lemon and stuff like that. Good guy.
Wow.
Yeah, you know Jay. Jay Zucker, this is his brother. This is brother Robert, who's also a very successful man.
Look at this.
See that?
How many Zuckers can there be in Tucson?
You know?
I mean, we found out yesterday from the deputy interior secretary that she has an uncle named Christy Simone.
I know. That was good.
My mom said I was the only unique Christy Simone in the world, and then my whole world shattered.
Song, right? Isn't there a country song, "Mama Lied"?
Camille never said that. Now let's see what else we got. Dr. Bedoya today.
Yeah.
Eric Sloan running for Arizona Corporation Commission. We have the stories today. First of all, Danny Sawaya gave me a heads up, and I watched some of it last night, and I watched some of it today. The Catalina Foothills School District School Board,
yeah,
meeting
Foothills.
And about, you know, reopening and things like that, and listening to the parents beat up on the school board was great. And of course the school board ignored their parents at the end, because of course Dr. Cullen from Pima County came in and ruined it for everybody.
Oh my gosh.
As always.
Okay, there. Science.
We're going to play Kim Klasick. She is running in Baltimore for Congress. She did this great commercial during the summer. She has a second one we're going to play. And we're going to play it for you. And what we're going to do is we're going to do a mental substitution exercise where I'm going to give you certain words you need to listen for.
Uh-huh.
And then replace it with something else.
Okay. Well, that sounds like fun. That sounds like a radio fun thing.
Correct. So we're going to do that today.
Wow, cool.
We're going to do that. So we got to do Kim Klasick. I got to write this down. Klasick. Then we got to talk about the Pima Wall of Shame.
Yeah, you do.
We have to talk about that.
You catch up with those dudes. Dudettes.
What else do we got here? Oh, back to schools. We're going to do a story out of Phoenix. More school districts are bucking the state's COVID-19 metrics in favor of fully opening.
Look at that.
Phoenix schools. We'll give you the city of Scottsdale got rid of their mask mandate yesterday. So we'll talk about that. You still got to deal with the county people in this situation, but I'll explain why I think this is important. And, of course, TUSD stepped on their own face again in relation to postponing the October 9th back-to-school thing. They just love chaos over there. And they love chaos. And TUSD and their chaos and basically going after just ruining more kids' lives. We'll get to that. Okay. Then we got to do, where are union members leaning in the presidential election? We're going to talk about the Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the filling her spot on the Supreme Court.
Uh-huh.
We're going to talk about that a little more today. We're going to talk about maybe some of the stuff that has to... We got to get to Seattle, another one of Tucson's favorite cities.
Oh.
Hiring the convicted pimp as a street czar to consult on police reform.
Police, there you go.
We're
oh, man, don't tell Rahina. Are you kidding me?
So we got to get to the pimp who's now on the payroll.
That. Yeah.
Who knew I was going to say pimp on the payroll today? Who knew? What else do we got here today?
Kim Klasick and a pimp.
Kim Klasick.
Oh, looks like Klasick.
I know. It's tough. And then, of course, the McCain family crap on themselves even more.
He's so for our troops. We love this man.
Now, the one thing I got to get out now, very important, is a guy that we really knew from the show. When we first started doing the show, he used to come on the show, and he used to do a blog, right? And he did a blog that was kind of a, you know, local Tucson news stuff. And, you know, Joe and I first had him on the show because we thought he was doing a good job with his blog, trying to hold truth to, a little truth to power thing.
Okay, yeah, blog man, okay.
And, of course, he's, over the years, he's worked, he's been on Bill's show, he's guest hosted for Bill, and that was James Kelly.
Yes.
And James actually passed away in the last 24 to 36 hours. We don't know how, it wasn't like, This was definitely totally unexpected.
I would think, yes.
So
it was horrible.
Yeah, James passed away in the last day and a half.
James Kelly, he talks like this.
He had the raspy dulcetones.
Right.
He could have done the In a World.
You got it.
And so anyway, and he's always been very active and, you know, very concerned. You know, retired Navy, served his country. And, you know, very, very concerned about his community. And I always thought Jim was a pretty good guy. So, mm-hmm. Jim, you shall be missed. And rest in peace, sir.
Rest in peace, sir.
So, all right. It's 6:66. I was saying it's 6:16 in the morning. I can say it now. Ed Alexander, Christy Simone. It's Ed's Tucson Musicians Hall of Fame induction show.
Later.
The whole damn show. Wake up.
That's when you had the little hair thing here. What do you call that when that thing on your chin is?
Soul patch, baby.
The soul patch. That's right. I'm cool, but I'm not that cool. So thank you, sir. Happy birthday to the boss.
If you had one, you would be in the Musicians Hall of Fame 10 years ago.
That's true. Been on it. Yeah.
It sounds like the Sunny Sound Foundation thing, they rocked it.
Sounds like it, Tucson.
I don't know if they hit the 50, but they were damn. They did hit the 50.
Yeah, they did.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Last time I saw it was like 44 or something
like that. Then it was 49, and then we got an email that they surpassed it. So
very good.
Thank you, Tucson. Thank you, Wakeys. Thank you, everybody, for the Sunnyside School District Foundation. Good stuff. Wow.
We did. I think we've completed the whole deal for Frankie's Bicycle. The young man with cerebral palsy who some bastard stole his bicycle and ruined it.
Yeah.
So in the end, the Wakeys donated almost just under $900 for the bicycle.
Look at that.
And then Duff and Michelle Heron picked up the rest. So
just amazing.
So Jesse's going to get the money over to the Ajo Pikes guys soon, and that'll be good, and Frankie will have his new bicycle, which is going to work out better for Frankie because, one, it's lighter. Charles Heller was telling us it's one-third lighter of a bike than the one he had before, and of course, he rightly made it a good lesson on when you have the government-supported nonprofit bike, it's this beast of a thing, and it was so much higher. And so Frankie's parents had to, like, lift him up.
Wow. And Every time.
Yeah, he's a grown, you know, 14, 15-year-old kid here. So lifting him up in that, this is much easier and safer for Frankie and better for his parents. So, again, Wakey's rock. Wakey's
nice
rock.
Job. Heck of a job. Just did it in one day. Just boom. 45 minutes, it was done.
It was the magic of organic radio, right? Because I didn't come into that show thinking we were doing that.
About it. Yeah.
You know, it's like the flag thing. Actually, there'll now be two things hung up in the TCC. Right? And then Ed Alexander will be near the toilets for the Tucson Musician Hall of Fame. That's not the ruin, the honor. It's to see have more people see him.
I'm saying.
And then at the same time, we have the little placard for the Wakeys who had to pay for the flags at the TCC Arena.
Right.
That was also organic radio. We didn't know we were going to do that day, right? It was Christina Cruz, I believe, came to our January happy hour at El Charro downtown and said, hey, I just came back from an Ice Cats game, and it was really pathetic. They didn't have a real flag. They showed a waving flag on a television set. And we said, can't do that.
No.
So the Hig Dog went on theflagstuff.com. And we saw that a 20x30 American flag was $600-$800. And we said, all right, we're doing a flagathon.
Yep.
And you guys came through with 2,300. Like, before it was all over, we bought two flags. We bought the Arizona flag.
Right, we had the USA and the Arizona flag.
We had to bail out Rio Nuevo, who couldn't pay for the flags.
They all this money to redo the TCC, and they weren't going to put up a flag.
We got $13 million for the Ekpo Plaza fountains, but we can't buy a flag.
This was before Raheena Romero. Imagine today.
So anyway, that's would she protest us getting a flag?
Yes.
A symbol of systemic racism.
I know. Who's 13 stars? What is that all about?
That's good. So anyway, Wakeys, you guys are the best.
Thank you.
Some of you have been asking me about a happy hour kind of thing. That will be announced. We're going to do some research in the next 48 hours. We're going to do one. I think this is how I want you to plan your social dance card for Wakey happy hour. We're going to do one in, what do you call it? End of October.
Okay, like Halloweenish, but not Halloweenish.
Dr. Fauci strongly suggests that you do not trick or treat this year.
Right.
Go to hell.
Yeah. Welcome to America.
Then we have.
But why? Because you have a mask on? Come on. Stop it.
Then the Christmas party. And then there'll be a massive one in the third or fourth week of January. That's the schedule right now.
Look at that.
Mark again,
your calendars.
All of this stuff, masks and school districts, and this is all election driven. Don't think it's not. This is it. We'll see what happens after Election Day, but that is all hanging in everyone's brain.
Of course.
Because if you're an elected official, you don't want to be the one who says, "Oh, we want kids back in school." And then there's that one positive case.
Yeah.
Oh, it's on you. Here's the thing. We're not being run by Dr. Collins and Fauci's. They're part of it. It's the lawyers in the end. Right? It's the lawyers for all these people saying, "You can't do that. You can't do that."
What if?
And Doug Ducey, who, by not calling the legislature into session to do a COVID liability piece of legislation.
They haven't worked in months.
Is also part of the problem, too.
State legislature, why don't you go to work sometime? They've been out since, March?
So I was going through some pictures from the show. And I found a picture from 2 years ago where Christy Simone and Ann Kirkpatrick stood in this hallway out here and took a picture. And I said, from 2 years ago, I put it back on my Facebook page. I said, "I am honored to be one of the last people to see Ann Kirkpatrick alive and well." Donde está Ann?
Oh, you're going to have fun on Facebook today.
I mean,
you asked for it.
But it's true. I've seen her one more time since then is when Billy Kovacs walked her through the World War II luncheon last November.
Yes, yes.
Right? And she said hi to two people, and then he whisked her right back out so she didn't have to stay.
In one door and out the other.
And then, of course, they put it on her Twitter page. Anne had a wonderful time having lunch with the World War II veterans. Yeah.
Yeah, she walked right through. She never sat down, never did nothing. Because
we got to go. We're running out of time.
Got lost in the
bye
corner.
Bye.
Okay. That's how you do rock and roll. I'm going down, 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 down.
Got some good birthdays today. You got Ray Charles and Bruce Springsteen, so that'll keep us busy for the rest of the day. And then Ed's giantly long kazoo solo. Well, I found a recording of that.
Thank you.
So it was on his old GeoCities MySpace account from 1998. So, yeah, you think you can hide, Ed? You can't. Sorry. Let's get pimping. Who knew I was going to say that on the Wake Up Tucson show?
Let's write this down. Let's get pimping. Okay, good.
It's like that guy, "Are you ready to rumble?"
Right.
I got to pay him like $100 every time you say that.
I can't say that, yeah.
Michael Buffer. "Are you ready to get pimping?" on the Wake Up Tucson show. This is from Lee Brown, New York Post. Seattle now has on the payroll a convicted pimp who once vowed to go to war with the city. He's getting paid $150,000, a little less than a third of a huckleberry, to be the street czar. And he's going to come up with alternatives to policing. Andre Taylor, who appeared in the documentary American Pimp about his life as I mean, it sounds like a wrestling name.
Sounds like MTV. Let's go. This is great. Go ahead.
Gorgeous Dre was his pimp name.
Sure.
He'll be getting $12,500 a month for the year, along with an office at Seattle's Municipal Tower. It comes after his organization, Not This Time, was paid $100,000 by the city to sponsor a speaker series that was called Conversations with the Streets. He was accused of later accused of trying to get millions from the city for militants who set up the controversial police-free Capitol Hill occupied protest, or CHOP Zone. He told activists in a meeting caught in a recording, quote, "Just don't just leave with something," unquote. Telling them to demand $2 million from the city to exit the site of much of the city's worst violence this year. They ignored his advice, the paper said, with one saying the money grab felt a little off. Some of those militants then accused him of betraying them, too, when he appeared at a press conference with the mayor telling them to shut down CHOP. Oh, check this out. The same day he was given his contract for six figures. The new street czar justified the contract to KOMO News, all Como all the time, hopefully they do Perry, as payment for his particular genius in a particular area, unquote, saying he can talk, quote, to the gang members, pimps, and prostitutes who won't sit down with anyone else, unquote. So he's like the Dr. Doolittle of pimps, gang members, and prostitutes. He has the ability to talk to these human beings. Quote, "Black people as a whole have not been in a place to be compensated for their genius or for their work for a very long time," unquote. Not many people can go talk to the gangbangers than go talk to the government in their territory.
Jeez. People.
Now, Mr. Taylor, the newest municipal member of the Seattle City Government at 150 G's, he's got a little bit of a history. He first found notoriety for his genius in Las Vegas, where he was sentenced in 2000 to more than 5 years in prison. Some of the girls he pimped for were underage, according to the court reports in the Las Vegas Sun newspaper.
Right, so he's working for the gov now.
Correct.
See? Crime pays.
You know, when you read the Vegas stuff, then you kind of go,
It would make sense if he was doing this in Vegas. They were doing this. I could understand.
We decided we're going to be in this subculture like the mafia, whether you liked it or not. We knew you considered us the waste of the world from the beginning. We didn't care what you thought about us, just like I don't care what you think about me now. He came to 16 to Seattle after his brother Che Taylor died in a police shooting, saying he came to Seattle, quote, because he was here to go to war. As the street star, his contract tasks him to provide recommendations to the city on de-escalation, community engagement, and alternatives to policing. He's lived experience with the criminal legal system and their history of successful advocacy and activism on issues of policing and dismantling systemic racism.
There you go. Now it's 150,000. Now
I love the spokeswoman for Jenny Durkin, the mayor, Kelsey Nyland. Okay. I love this one. This is my quote. Now think about what the violence that has occurred in Seattle, right? And all the things that were simmering and cooking and
burning
and finally really truly blew up in this apocalyptic summer in Seattle, right? She's like, she also noted that this is part of their justification of hiring the pimp, okay? Noting the city is spending millions this year on similar contracts. All of you, whatever you think you've been doing over the years is not working. Again, the idea of hiring the pimp.
Come on.
Who was accused, actually, in the court records of pimping young teenage girls. Right? And the progressive mayor, Jenny Durkin, is going to the underage girl pimp for her street czar.
For street cred.
Now, there has to be someone who exists on the streets of Seattle or any other city that is not the former underage girl pimp. There could be someone who runs a nonprofit, maybe a shelter in these areas, right? Who are dealing, or maybe a drug rehab place that are dealing with people who are pimps, prostitutes, gangbangers, and various other characters who populate such an area, right? But no, we went for the underage girl pimp.
It's how they think, people. It's how they think. We should have her come to all the schools and do a little talk.
You know what I got to do?
I don't know.
We got to get this guy on the show. He'll be a show. He'll be hilarious. Give me more of that sweet action. So anyway, again, remember Seattle. If you're hanging out at you can't do it now. You have to socially distance. Che's Bar on 4th Avenue. You know, Seattle's got to be one of those cities that the local libs look to and go, man, I wish we were Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
We want to be, yes. And Portland and Seattle.
And Frisco.
Yes, of course.
Right? And then what do we got here? I mean, we have cities.
And you ask yourself why.
That have devolved into burning violence. Remember, before COVID, the big story for San Francisco was the streets were littered with defecant and drug needles.
Needles, yep. Ask anybody who's been there. We want to be like them.
So I was having this discussion with someone who works in the chamber young professional thing out there. And again, most of those people in that sphere, as my friend Dan Gibson would say, when you're populating that sphere, are more into the fact that they want to keep kissing the rear end of local power, thinking somehow if they keep kissing their rear end, things will change. Which, of course, then they just kind of use you as useful idiots to say that they're business friendly. Right? That's just the way it works. But here's the danger in Tucson, Arizona right now. In the last 6 months of this 14-day lockdown, what has happened to us? What have we become? Or what has it revealed? I think it's what has it revealed and what have we really become very fast, okay? The only economic dynamic that has happened hardcore in Tucson, Arizona, is the region of Tucson, Pima County, is a huge influx of wealthy 60-plus Californians or other people from other areas getting the hell out of their state. That is the number one thing that has happened economically in this community. So you know what that means? And we know that downtown is a scary, quiet place right now. That was supposed to be the future. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Downtown.
Put all the money.
That's where we ignore everything else in town for downtown. Right? Because remember, it's never like Rahina gets up there and goes, oh, I'm so proud the way the 22nd corridor, 22nd Street corridor looks.
It's looking so good, yeah.
But they go, look at downtown.
Right?
Look at downtown. And it's not like the people moving here are dual income people, right, who are
probably
working
not
somewhere here. And we know that currently, you know, the Raytheon thing, hopefully they'll be still stay solid, right? But we do know some people, because of the merger with the other company, that have been laid off from Raytheon. So I think they're still fine, Raytheon. But in the end, the biggest dynamic has been a huge influx of wealthy, mostly liberal Californians coming to... Look, we just talked to Pat Sneezek yesterday from Sun Street Mortgage.
Right, at this time yesterday.
We were at a point where we only had 1 month of inventory of houses. Then we talked about the labor shortage, a lumber shortage, right? Which now I'm hearing that some builders are starting to slow down their amount of houses that they're doing, which, of course, with people with existing houses, that'll make your values go up higher.
Up.
But
you can't cut trees.
So here's the thing, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong or right. 790-2040. Economically, I see that in the last 6 months, we have made a huge lurch into becoming a retirement community. We're not some cutting-edge city on the edge. We are Boca Raton, Florida, in the middle of the desert, with a university that's on the ropes because of this COVID stuff and the way they're handling it. So that's where we're at. We're not optics. We're not cutting-edge whatever. We, in the last 6 months, if you look at the economic dynamic of Tucson, Arizona, we have lurched into the Boca Raton. We're a sun city of a million people with a devolving city in the middle of it. That's what's happening right now. We're not getting younger. We got older real hard. Well, thank God we have all these hospitals here for all of these older people. But that's what we've turned into. We are... The Sun City, we're a Sun City southwest of a million people.
Yeah. We're a comparatively cheap place to buy a home and to live.
Right.
As compared to Phoenix or Flagstaff or something like that. Definitely compared to Texas or places like that. So, I mean, we're the sleepy little border town that you can afford to come to, retire, go out to restaurants every night, and that's all it is.
Let's talk about what it means to have that population as your lead population when we come back. 790-24. Maybe not a bad thing, but you have to understand what the... Let's not pretend we're something else.
Right.
Wake up. Ray Charles' birthday. 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. Ed Alexander.
That's the man. And Chris DeSimone. Hey, hey.
How you doing?
I'm good. I got to get this picture so you can actually see it.
It's good when these birthdays happen. It reminds me to go, like, I always love Modern Sounds and Country Western Music by Ray.
Oh, yeah, right.
And for a while, it wasn't on Spotify when I was looking for it. And then as I was making your list, I noticed it was back on Spotify.
Country, yeah.
So I just made my modern recordings of Country Western Music playlist as we speak. So
you multitasking again as usual.
And also, as part of this whole Frankie bike that we did, right? Aho Bikes did kick in $1,600 plus the labor.
Look at this.
Towards Frankie's bike. So if you take that plus the Wakeys were in for $8, and then you had, Duff and Michelle Heron covered the rest. You guys are the best. So thank you, Aho Bikes, and the owner, and I think his name was Chris, was the bike mechanic who really... took Frankie into his hands.
1301 East Aho Way.
Amen. Show me that picture real quick.
I'm going to find it again. Oh, this one?
Yeah.
This is for Dr. Bedoya. This is what my teeth used to look like, and he's coming in. So
when was this?
I don't know. Long
Who sent you this?
Oh, I found it in my
stuff. Oh, you
stuff.
Had it. Okay. I thought someone sent it to you.
That's the 70s.
We'll continue
after
this.
I got my hair
We'll
cut.
Continue this conversation. We went a little long the last segment.
But you were going to tell us what Tucson is becoming.
It really, I just said that if I looked at the dynamics of what Tucson has become, right? So what's happened inside between the COVID and the fear and the people who make up the area around the university, right? That place is toast right now, right? And then getting the people from the suburbs like me, remember I was in Oro Valley, I would tell you I'm one of the highest users of downtown in the last 20 years.
Of the people in Oro Valley.
Right.
You don't go downtown.
And they'd literally go, me and Lee'd be like, oh yeah, we went here and we had lunch at Poca Coast. They go, you went downtown?
I know.
Did you have to, what's the number one question they ask you? Is it safe?
Right.
And the number two is,
where do you park?
Did you parallel park? I like how they always complain about parallel parking in downtown, where every other city you go to, I'm parallel parking, right? I parallel park in Colorado Springs, Manitou Springs, Orange County, San Diego. I'm parallel parking all the time. But for some reason, downtown's like, ah, you can't do it downtown. But look at where we're at, right? So we know we have the hospitals. We know we're building more pickleball courts, which is good for a lot of these older folks. You know, we built soccer fields that no one can use. None of the actual regular kids in the neighborhood can use. I mean, Chuck spent at least, you know, $20 million on soccer fields no one can use over there. You know, and so you're kind of like, this is Tucson's economic slide. I don't want to say slide. At least shift in the last 6 months of this COVID thing is we've become a really big retirement community more than ever. And I guess the ongoing conversation should we have is, should we stop pretending? Maybe that's what we should be. When I see the people buying houses in Oral Valley, you know, I would tell you up until before the last year, you'd see a mix of seniors and then someone who was coming to work at Raytheon. Raytheon did have that expansion over the last few years, right? The young engineer. I'd run into him at the Oral Valley Farmers Market all the time. You'd see the classic, you know, mom, dad, two little kids, and they're like, hey, we just moved here. And I just go, Raytheon, right? And they're like, well, how did you know? Took a guess. But I'm going to tell you something. What I see is a lot of 60-plus couples out of California who cashed in the $2.3 million house, bought a beautiful house in Oral Valley for $500,000, and they're here to stay. So we're taking that. We're taking even a harder slant, I think, left than we did before. And we just, I think that's our thing. We might become the biggest retirement community out there, is kind of where we're heading with a devolving center of town. So, well, I'm sure the chamber will fix it, and SALC. So, my day is brightened. Dr. Bedoya is here.
Yay!
So,
me too. My consultation. I'm ready to go.
We're going to switch. Actually, I'm going to run the board, and Ed's going to get one of these chairs and lay back on the actual table while Bedoya works on his gums. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice.